Good morning. This past Friday night, a large group of us got together and we went to see the Northwest Arkansas National Forest. Had a good time and came home with a souvenir. That's it. Now, some of you are thinking, well, that's cool, but why are you laughing? Well, if there's something that you haven't learned yet about your pastoral staff, it's that we're cheap. Is that right, Brother Dan? Amen. I like $8 tickets, but I don't like $8 hot dogs. You know? We went to the game Friday night, got in, great, got all the geeks, had a great time. I think we had 42 of us from the church at the game Friday night. Actually, maybe 44, because Ellen and Judy showed up, but they weren't sitting with us. I don't know why. I don't know if they had a problem or what. But after I tell the story, you'll probably understand how they were glad they were going to take care of them. My wife and I decided we would share them because, again, I love to be cheap more than I love to eat. And so we shared a meal, and about, that was early in the game, and then about, the sixth inning or so, I decided I needed a little bit something more. And Joanne was the same, so she got something, but I didn't want much. So I went and searched out the cheapest thing I could find. And that was a $3 ice cream sandwich. And so I walked halfway around the ballpark to get over there to it and brought it back, and I was eating my ice cream sandwich. And of course, Caleb and Carly said, I want to buy it. And I said, no, this is my sandwich. You had to figure out this is my sandwich. And so I was very protective of my ice cream sandwich. And about that time, as we were sitting there watching the game, sitting right behind first base, kind of a dangerous place to get. Goes way up in the air, about 80 to 100 feet. And I thought, that's coming this way. So I stood up with my ice cream sandwich in my hand, and I'm watching it. And I said, that ball is coming almost by my hand. I thought, I'm going to have to reach out my finger and get it. And then, all of a sudden, it's coming right down on my feet. And I said, I'm going to have to catch this thing. And so I did. I put up my right hand to catch that ball, and I held my ice cream sandwich in my left. Well, as the ball came through my hand and bounced off my chest, the good news is my son got the ball for me. And for those of you who were wondering, no, I'm not bruised yet. It's so deep, I think it's going to show up in about a week, I'm not sure. But needless to say, after that took place, the 40 people behind me from our church had a lot of fun with that. And you know, it's in those moments when you do something so absolutely stupid, like trying to catch a 100-foot fly ball with one hand bearing, that you realize you either have to crawl away in shame or just play it up and enjoy the moment. And so I did. I was making a big deal about how I was about to die and all of this, but all of a sudden, the usher walks down to the Church of Union Medical Attention. And I said, no, I'm okay. It's just the only thing hurt is my side. And then, would you know it, from a second and a half over, there's Belle and Judy Orwig. Now, in all fairness, Miss Judy, you did the same thing. But Belle yelling at me something, I don't know, telling me how proud he was that I was his pastor, I think. I finished the ice cream sandwich. I'm sorry, I thought that was just an unspoken thing. Of course, I held on to it. And I got the souvenir, so all was good. You know, this story however funny, just goes to show that men do not like to be shamed. Men always hope to be respected. And the last couple of weeks, I've been talking to you about something that is called the crazy cycle. And those of you who were unable to be here last week, we talked about how men ought to communicate their love to their wives. And how important it is that we love our wives unconditionally. The week before that, I introduced this concept of the crazy cycle, and we're going to talk about that more in just a minute. But today, I'm going to spend one more week talking to you about communicating respect to your husband. Now, some of you may be thinking, "Brother Wade, we heard this. We heard it 2 weeks ago. We heard it again last week. Why are you spending one more week talking about it?" I thought it might be appropriate to at least mention that to you and explain why I think this is so important. You see, the concept of unconditional love and unconditional respect in the home is a foreign concept to most families today. In fact, when you talk about respect, respect is something that must be earned in this world. Is that right? It doesn't matter who you are, what walk of life you're in, what situation you find yourself in, respect is never given to you unconditionally. It is always earned. So this concept of unconditional respect for your husband is important. And to be quite honest with you, anytime a concept that is so jarring, so countercultural is brought to your mind, it takes a little bit of time to really process it. And so, this morning we're going to talk about it one last time before we move on. Some of you may not have had the opportunity to be here last week or the week before. I would encourage you. To go back, you can go to our website, temporeoptics.org, and you can look at some of these other sermons and get the full picture. But today, one last time, we're going to spend some time talking about this crazy cycle and how to communicate respect to your husband. Now, as I was preparing my message, I didn't expect to have an opening story as good as I did about Friday night. And so I do have one other short video that will help to introduce this concept of a man's need for respect. And the question is respect really a big deal? And so I want you to watch this short video clip. Someone that, if you're my age or older, you'll definitely recognize. And if you're not, just understand, young people, this is a really popular guy in this day.
And I'll tell you, no, when you're ugly, all right? Well, Halloween, my wife sends the kids out dressed like me. I mean, I'll tell you. I'll tell you the whole story, all right? The whole story, okay? All right. I mean, you know when you're ugly. Well, last Halloween, a kid tried to pull my face off. And my kid, they flip a coin and see who has to kiss me goodnight. And I was an ugly kid, too. I told my old man, never took me to the zoo. He said, if they want you, they'll come and get you. Well, that's the story of my life. No respect. I don't get no respect. No respect at all. No respect at all. You kidding me? Well, I was drowning. I was yelling, help, help. And the lifeguard ran over. I said, all right, buddy, keep it down. Keep it down. Now, I don't get no respect from anyone. Well, I called up suicide prevention. They tried to talk me into it.
At the age of 19, actually at 15, he started writing comedy. But at the age of 19, he started doing stand-up comedy. That was before the beginning of World War II, when he started doing comedy. He struggled for many years. And then finally, what Dangerfield came to realize was that what he really needed was a well-defined on-stage persona that audiences could relate to and that would distinguish him from similar comics. He had nothing that set him apart from everybody else. And so finally, he started working on this character for whom nothing goes right. He gets no respect at all. And so in 1967, Rodney Dangerfield got a big break when somebody couldn't make it onto the Ed Sullivan Show, and he got to be on there as a last-minute guest artist, and he was a huge hit. And from there, it went on, and he did movies in the 80s, and eventually died in 2004. And he was very frustrated in his life after he became popular because people mistakenly thought of him as the same person he was on stage. A man who got no respect. So my question is, what was it with the no respect thing that resonated with so many people? Why was it that thing catapulted him into being a superstar in the area of comedy? Why did people find it so hilarious? Here's another question for you. Do you think that behind every joke, there's at least a nugget of truth? Have you heard that before? Behind everything that's funny or every joke, there's a little bit of truth behind it. One blogger that I read this week said this: there's always a trace of truth in jokes and jests. That's fine. You laugh at them. We immediately spot the relation between the joke and its subject. Whether what is being told in a joke has really happened or not is not the issue. The question is, does it happen? Is it possible that this would happen? Can it be true? And the answer to all of those questions is yes. The reason that Rodney Dangerfield resonated with so many people is because so many men do not receive respect. What's the truth behind the no respect joke? Men get no respect. I love what Dan said this morning about how that our relationship to our Father in heaven is a picture of how we, as fathers, should be fathers to our families. How many times does it say that we should fear the Lord? We should honor the Lord? The same way, men need that respect. The truth is that men don't get respect. The sad truth is that men desperately crave respect. Now, ladies, I am not expecting many men to say amen this morning. I want you to understand that. Because what we're going to be talking about today is something that is not easy for them to hear, just as it may not be easy for you to hear either. Men desperately crave your admiration and your respect. But our culture has taught them that they cannot claim it. That is the sad truth behind respect. So this morning, as we continue to talk about this crazy cycle, and we think about what it is, without love, a wife will react without respect. That's the first part that we talked about. And without respect, a husband will react unlovingly. That's the crazy cycle. That's what keeps us going and keeps us that tension between us and our spouse or us and our children. When there is a lack of love and a lack of respect, there is a lack of communication in the family. However, the energizing cycle is that his love motivate her respect. And that's what we talked about last week, is how that men must love their wives unconditionally. And we must communicate that love to our wives. Today, I want us to focus on the other side of that love. And that is, her respect will motivate his love. When a husband is respected, he will react in a way that is loving. That's what we're going to focus in on today. If you have your Bibles, I invite you to look at the book of 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3, we'll be looking at this passage, as well as a couple of other passages this morning. We'll be going back to Ephesians chapter 5 in a little while. That's where we've been focused on for several weeks now. But in 1 Peter chapter 3, we find some information here given by Peter to husbands and wives. And so we're just going to read verses 1 and 2 here. It says, "Likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may, without the word, be won by the conversation of the wives, while they behold or change conversation coupled with fear." Now, there's a couple things that are interesting here, and I think it will help us if we look at a modern translation of this verse, because if you notice in verse 1, it says that the husbands will be won by the conversation of the wives. So, in other words, if you want to take this out of context, ladies, if you want to change your wife, keep telling him all the ways you can change. Is that right? Well, the old English word conversation is actually a word that goes into the concept of your conduct. The way that you live your life is what this word conversation actually is referring to. So let's look at these verses in the English Standard Version. If you don't have that, those verses are on the screen. It says, "Likewise, wives, be subject to your own husband, so that even if some do not obey the word, they may be won without a word by the conduct of their wives, when they see your respectful and pure conduct." Now, the situation here is that Peter is talking to Christian women whose husbands were not living according to the word of God. These are men who maybe they've made a profession of faith and they have just kind of strayed, or maybe these are men that are antagonistic toward the gospel. Either way, they are not living by the word, but yet their wives are. So is that, wives should come in and browbeat him with scripture? Is that going to work? Is that going to win their husband over? No. Peter says, don't do that, but without any word, but rather by the conduct of your life, you can win your husband with your respectful and pure conduct. Notice some of these things. First, it says, wives be subject. This means to show respect to your husband. Be subject. Show them respect with a respectful attitude and with pure conduct. Is what we see in that verse. It goes on, and notice the middle. They may be one without the word. But they may be one without the word. We're going to talk a little more about this in a little bit. But folks, this is God's will for you as the female partner in a relationship, in a marriage, to show that respect so that you can influence your husband in ways that you never could using your words. This is biblical. And so this morning I want to look at three things in relationship to this. And the first of these is unconditional respect. What is that? What does it mean? And how do we make this a part of our lives? You know, most people, both men and women, believe that respect is something to be earned. Is that right? That's what they believe. But the fact is that the Bible teaches unconditional respect. You say, prayer, by the way, well, if you look back in the previous chapter there in 1 Peter, we were reading from chapter 3. If you look at chapter 2, verse 17 says, respect everyone and love the family of believers. And then in the next verse it says, not only if they are kind and reasonable, but even if they are cruel. You know, is that unconditional respect? Is it? Respecting even when someone is harsh and cruel toward you, giving them that respect no matter of what kind of attitude they have? That's unconditional. The Bible teaches it, but we don't believe it because our culture has put it aside and says respect must be earned. But brothers and sisters, it says respect everyone and love the family of believers. We must show one another respect. Unconditional. You know, many women think and money doesn't cost their money. I never want to accept another woman's money. But I think this is true. And to be honest with you folks, these are some very hard truths, primarily because most men do not deserve respect because of the way that they act or have treated women in their lives. Most men do not. And so I think it is true when I say that many women think something like this. How can I show respect for him when he comes across so unknown, so harsh, so rude? How can I show him respect? Or he certainly doesn't deserve that respect. Is that true? It can't be in some situations. Maybe in yours. Maybe you've been hurt by a man who was so very undeserving of respect. Or another. I love him, but he frustrates me to the point that I just don't want to respect him. He infuriates me. He drives me up the wall with this man. I don't want to respect him. That's the crazy part. Is it not? When a woman does not show respect, how will a man react? Without love. And then when the man reacts without love, how does the woman react? Without respect. And it continues to escalate and escalate. And it's not until somebody decides, I'm going to give unconditional love or unconditional respect to my spouse, that the crazy cycle starts to slow down. Now, realize, folks, been married for 22 years, it does not stop. I love you all. But we're constantly battling the inertia of the crazy cycle. So, is unconditional respect an oxymoron? You say, what's that, by the way? An oxymoron is when you take two concepts and put them together that don't seem to fit. Right? Someone give me an example of an oxymoron. Yeah, jumbo shrimp. That's a good one. Honest politician, I'm not going to touch that one. But jumbo shrimp. Jumbo shrimp. Have you ever had a jumbo shrimp? I mean, usually they're about that size. Now, in the Philippines, we have what we call karma. And I know you get them here, but it's not like you got them. I remember one mother today, I took my beautiful bride out to eat at a restaurant that could not have eaten that because it was so crazy expensive, but I wanted to bless her. There's nothing about me wanting to do it. But I had jumbo shrimp that day that was that long. And so I know that's not exaggerated, is it? I had 24 of them. That was all I ate the whole night. It was amazing. I mean, I'm still talking about it 12 years later or whatever. So yeah. An oxymoron is unconditional respect an oxymoron. You know, I think a lot of people in their heart say, well, yeah, it's an oxymoron. People must earn my respect. I'm not going to give respect unconditionally. You know, I think we struggle to understand this concept of unconditional respect, but then we expect unconditional love. Well, of course, that's agape love. That's the love of God. We must love unconditionally. But folks, I would posit that unconditional love is no more an oxymoron than unconditional respect. Or reverse it. Unconditional respect is no more an oxymoron than unconditional love. These are truths of God's word. We must respect, no matter how harsh or cruel someone might be. The scripture teaches you to respect them, especially ladies if it is your husband. So respect to them. And if you're here this morning and you weren't here last week, I promise I got on the end last week. So, in a typical marriage, after the first year, a husband will know that his wife loves him, but he will feel that she neither likes him nor admires him for who he is as a human being. I know my wife loves him. Because that's who she's created to be. That's what she does. She loves. She is a nurturer. That is her instinct to love. But sometimes, does she like me? The answer is no. In a typical marriage, that's the case. And you know what? If the pattern is like most, the wife will spend her energy seeking to change her husband by loving criticism and complaint. That's what a typical pattern is. I love my husband so much, I want to make him a better man. Amen? And so how am I going to do that? I'm going to lovingly tell him all the ways that he needs to change. That will eventually lead that man to feel content. You see, respect is man's greatest need. Respect is his absolute greatest need. There was a scientific study done, and men were asked, which would you prefer to endure? Would you rather be deserted alone in the world, completely and totally unloved by everyone, or be considered by others as inadequate or disrespectful? Here are the results. Men who would willingly say, I would rather be alone and unloved, made up 26%, where 74% said, I would not want to endure being disrespected. I don't want oh, you know what, I wrote that wrong, didn't I? Man, I hate it when I mess up like that. Which would they not prefer to endure? Put a not in there. Men do not want to be looked at as inadequate. Men do not want to be looked at with disrespect. Love is important to the lady, but respect is their greatest need. Proverbs chapter 12, verse 4 says, a virtuous woman is a crown to her husband, but she that maketh ashamed is rottenness in his bones. Now, that word maketh ashamed means to cause shame for her husband, for her to shame him. And the concept of rottenness, another translation would call that a cancer in his bones. Ladies, if you shame your husband, you're killing him. You're killing him. Just as much as cancer, bone cancer, will kill God. You're killing your husband when you do this. Now, have you ever heard this from your husband? Nope. Now, I'll be honest with you. I've never sat down and talked to my wife about this. I'm too scared. And she loves me. You won't hear them say this to me, but I can promise you it's true. You know, a long time ago, there was a problem that came out. R-E-S-T-E-P-T-E. You all know this song, right? Here are the words to that song. It says, what you want, honey, you got it. And what you need, baby, you got it. All I'm asking, and I know it's small, that's why I'm reading it. All I'm asking is for little respect when I come home. Hey, hey, hey. Yeah, I know. You want me to sing it? No. The next verse goes on and says, do me wrong, honey, if you want to. You can do me wrong while I'm gone. But all I'm asking is for a little respect when I come home. Hey, now. Hey, hey, hey. Yeah, I know. Next verse. Hey, little girl, you're sweeter than honey. And I'm about to give you all my money. But all I'm asking, hey, is a little respect when I get home. Respect. It's what I want. Respect. It's what I need. Now, who is it that first thing to talk? Aretha Franklin, right? A great singer. I mean, but just to clarify, she's a woman, right? What you may or may not know is that this song, for those of you who are born in the 80s or beyond, this song became the theme song of the feminist movement in the late 1960s. Aretha Franklin was clearly sending the message that all women were asking for was a little respect when they got home tonight. Respect is what women needed, she was saying. Respect is what they had to have. However, most people do not realize that this song was really first written and released by a man named Otis Redding. Otis Redding released this single on August 15, 1965, 15 years ago this year. And he released it as a message to his wife. Hey, little girl, you're sweeter than honey, and I'm about to give you all my money. But all I'm asking for a little respect when I get home. Makes a little more sense now, doesn't it? You see, folks, for decades, for centuries, for millennia, men have been in their hearts craving the respect of someone who will love and admire them. They want the respect of their wife. Now, of course, a woman needs respect too. I'm not saying that you shouldn't. I'm not saying that Aretha was wrong by saying that. But if a man loves her properly, she will get the respect that she needs. Amen? Respect is a man's greatest need. But you know what? Disrespect is a man's greatest fear. We kind of touched on this a moment ago. A woman's maternal nature is to lovingly correct her children. Ladies, is that right? Yes? And almost always, it is lovingly. There are moments. But that is the maternal nature. And God created you to be that way. You are the corrector. You are the one who molds children to be the people that they want to be. But sometimes that maternal nature becomes what we call scolding. Now, if you were to define scolding, scolding means to reprimand or criticize harshly. Sometimes, ladies, let's be honest, in the privacy of your own home, behind closed doors, sometimes you could speak harshly with your children. And even angrily, and sometimes even openly. This is the concept of scolding. But ladies, here's what's really important in this, and that is that if a man believes he is being scolded as a child, he will feel disrespected. It is in your nature to mother your children, but how many of you are guilty of saying that I have X number of children and you always have one more than what you have? My wife said it, I have three children. I'm hoping I can get two of the braids eventually. Right? Yeah, Carly just bowed. Thank you, babe. Now, in all fairness, I am somewhat childlike. So, you know, there is some truth there. But when a man feels he is being scolded as a child, he will feel disrespected. And disrespect is man's greatest fear. Another scientific study was done asking 400 businessmen whether or not they would want their associates, their colleagues, their employees, whatever, whether they would want them to love them or respect them. Men, I think you know how this can turn out, right? Whoops. Can you see that little bitty line there at the top that says love? It was like less than 1% of the people said that they wanted their employees to love. Well over 99% of the men said, I want people to respect. I don't care if they love me. I want them to respect. Ladies, you don't understand that, do you? That's a foreign language to you, isn't it? How can you say, I want your respect, but not your love? Well, that's because God created us in this way. And God created you in this way. We're different. Ephesians chapter 5, we've been focusing in on this for the last couple of weeks. we read and studied from verse 25 all the way to the end of the chapter, but I want us to look at verses 22 through 24 and then verse 33 again. The scripture says, "Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, his body, and is himself its Savior." Verse 24. "Now, as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit in everything to their husbands." And then look at verse 33 again. "However, let each one of you love his wife as himself." We talked about that last week. But it goes on. "And let the wife see that she respects her husband." You know, we were saying earlier that this is a foreign concept to many. I don't know how much you have been in cross-cultural situations. My family, I've been in a lot of cross-cultural situations. Some of those cross-cultural situations, I've been able to communicate in because of the different languages that I speak in the Philippines. If I went anywhere in the island of Luzon, I could speak to them in Tagalog, and we could carry on communication. If I was in the Western Visayas, I spoke a little bit of the Bongo, and I could mix in the Tagalog, and so I could still communicate with those people, no matter where I was or whatever. But then, when I was in Beijing a year ago this month, and but when I was in Beijing, I was meeting all these folks, and some of them spoke good English, and then others did not. I knew three words in Chinese and Mandarin, and one of those was "nature," which basically meant "no problem." That wasn't going to get me very far in a conversation. The other was, "How are you doing?" That's going to get a response that I don't understand. So how much conversation was taking place in that situation where I didn't speak their language? Very little. Have you ever been in a situation like that? You're sitting there looking across at somebody who's speaking another language and it's just really awkward? Have you been there? Okay, for most of you, it's not. You don't have to go far. Just go find a place, downtown, and sit down. And, you know, I'm sure there's a taqueria somewhere that you go sit and look at somebody, and they would look at you and wonder what the world is working with. And you can't communicate with each other. Ladies, your husband speaks the language of respect. If you don't learn to speak that language, that's when communication steps in. When a husband does not receive respect from his spouse, he stops communicating with her. When a husband receives unconditional respect from his spouse, he will begin to learn. Men, I told you I wasn't going to be on you very much today. But you need to understand, your wife sees your silence as hostility. If you do not speak, she feels unloved. But ladies, when you lovingly tell us all the things that are wrong with us, we shut down and we don't want to talk anymore. Disrespect is a man's greatest fear. And you know what? There is an inherent danger in not speaking your husband's respect language. An inherent danger, ladies. I want to share with you, and we're almost done. I want to share with you just a short testimony. This is a woman's testimony after her husband betrayed her with an extramarital affair. This is what she said. "I realized that my husband had cheated with this woman, not because of her looks or her personality or because she was anything so great, but rather because she was his captive audience. She caught my husband from the moon. Every remark he made to her was witty. Everything that he did was perfect. In this woman's eyes, he was the most handsome, most intelligent, and the funniest man in the world. My husband needed an ego boost, and she was ready and willing to be that. There is never an excuse for a man to betray the covenant of marriage. No matter what, we are without excuse, men. Without excuse. But ladies, there is a way that you can protect your marriage. And that is by showing your husband this kind of respect. By showing him this kind of admiration. We all need ego boost. We're all scared of being disrespected, being seen as inadequate, being shamed in our business, being shamed in our home. We're all afraid of failure, ladies. If you are your husband's spouse, he needs you to give him that ego boost. The energizing cycle we talked about. I want to close here. Your respect will motivate his love. But ladies, just like in this testimony I shared, some other woman's respect will also motivate his love. Protect your marriage. Let it function as God intended, and that is your respect for him motivating him to love you, which will then motivate you to respect him, which will motivate him to love you more, and so on, and so on. This morning, I want to give you a challenge. And that challenge is possibly a very simple thing, possibly a very difficult thing. But I'm going to give you a challenge to give respect to him. I'm going to say, but he knows, he's sitting here with me, he's going to know what I'm doing. If I go and tell him, honey, I respect you, I admire you, he's just going to think, well, you're just saying that because of what you're doing. Ladies, you're not that complicated. We're not. I don't care how it comes or what the catalyst was for it. If my wife comes to me and she says, I admire you. That's awesome. You know? So ladies, I'm going to challenge you. Sometime, I'm going to make it a week. So some of you may not be ready to do this today. And some of you may say, well, I don't want to catch your husband off guard. And that's good. It'll be that shot in the arm that your husband will need. I'm going to challenge you to go to him and tell him, I respect and admire you. And then, husband, here's your challenge. When they say this to you, you turn to them and say, why? Well, you can go to my name. Because it's one thing for a husband to say to his wife, I love you, honey. But it's a whole different thing for a husband to communicate that love to her in a way that she feels it. Right, ladies? Ladies, we want to hear why you respect us. We want to hear what about us makes you admire us. That is the energizing cycle. That is what makes us want to live. And I'd love to tell you some stories, but I want this weekend to play out first. I've read a lot of stories about some of the responses of men in regard to hearing these things from their wives. But I want to hear your stories next week. I challenge you. And I promise, we won't talk about the crazy cycle anytime soon again. But I challenge you to show respect and admiration for your husband in a very special way this week. And just see how it motivates him to communicate love to you in a new and special way. That's God's plan for the marriage relationship. Very clearly written from both Paul and from Peter. That's God's plan. Will you accept that challenge? Let's pray. God, in heaven, I do thank you for this time together. And God, I just pray now that as we depart from this place, that Lord, we will follow your will and do the things that you want us to do. God, I do thank you for the truth of Scripture. I thank you for the opportunity to share these things with me. And God, I do this. I just thank you that you have given me a wife who not only loves me, but does respect me, even though it's undeserved. Lord, I just pray that you'll help me to be the loving husband that I ought to be. Father, I pray that for all of the couples in this church. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.